This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And we'll see how we get on. I'm going to scold him for being late, basically.
See what he's late for.
Yeah, we'll see what he's late for. We'll see what he's late for.
And then scold him.
Better be good. And then scold him, maybe.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Better late than never.
Thank you for joining us.
Have I missed anything? Have I missed the joke of the week?
No.
You've missed most of it.
No, we wouldn't.
There isn't anything left to say apart from bye for now.
For now.
Bye for now. Oh, no, mate. Don't worry. But, like, you're all right. You don't have to disclose what you've been up to, but you're all right. Yeah.
Oh, I had to go do something at the Scouts. I was going to try and leave early, but I forgot to leave early. I got the message inviting me to the Zoom call. I was like, oh, crap. So I just, like, got in
just
my car
people
and drove
don't
home.
Misunderstand, Liam's not that young, okay?
No.
Liam's the expert on 1930s football, so...
That's it.
I have had time to do my guess in the player, so you don't have to worry about that.
Right, okay, but you know it, you're playing within the rules this time? Like, are you going to do it, like, within your age range?
We'll see.
Oh, okay. Well, we've got me versus the great archivist, that is also known as Will, to go later on in guessing the player. But lads, before we properly move on, we had like podcast Christmas night out. You know, it's always a good night. I feel like the brethren is a little bit, you know, more bonded and closer together after such an amazing occasion. And you know, I've been stung before when it comes to revealing certain amazing things that may have happened and might happen in the very near future. But I mean, there's a lot of fallout from the Christmas night out potentially to come in the very near future. That's really exciting for everybody that's listening, and obviously for all four of us that are involved in the podcast. Without revealing anything, I mean, Max, how are you feeling about the sort of like next 2 weeks ahead?
Yeah, I'm ecstatic, to be fair. Watch this space, everyone listening, because you won't want to miss what is coming, hopefully in the near future.
That's right. Hopefully everything comes through and we've got some big things to come. But we don't want to go on about it for too long in case it all falls through. But anyway, we'll move on to a bit of tradition and a bit of tried and tested stuff here on the Blue Army podcast. And I'll get things kicking off properly. Okay, here we go. Oh, it's Maris. How's it going? And welcome back to the Blue Army Podcast. This is, of course, episode 139. And I am absolutely buzzing to be joined by the three men that I love to call the Cumbrian Brain Trust. I'm talking about Max, Wills, and Liam. Welcome back, boys. How are you doing? You okay?
Good.
Brilliant, mate.
Spot on.
It's nice to come back to a bit of normality after what's been a bit of a crazy week for all of us here on the Blue Army podcast, especially just after recovering from that amazing Christmas night out. I'm sure stories will be revealed in the very near future. But before we move on to doing things like that, it's time for the traditions that we have around here. Not Christmas time traditions. No, it's Blue Army podcast traditions. That's right. And that can mean at this time of the show, it's one thing and one thing only. It's time for the Blue Army podcast joke of the week is he having a laugh? I think he's trying to. It's the Blue Army Podcast. Joke of the week. Get in, boys. Here we go. We're smashing it this week. Here we go. What do you call an owl that does magic?
A magic owl? Don't know.
Houdini!
I'll be disappointed if it's magic owl.
It's Houdini, boys. That's right. That's what you call a magic owl. You call a magic owl Houdini. And before we dwell too much on the strength or weakness of the joke of the week, we'll move on to its saviour week in, week out. That's right. It's time for the time of the show where we all get to find out what's been happening here. What's been happening there in the league? One roundup with Wills and Liam. Take it away, boys.
All right. Well, got a couple of things. I don't know if you've got anything else, Liam.
No, just what you've put in the chat.
Okay. I'll mention Peterborough, and then you can mention the FA Cup. So, apparently, Darren McAntony didn't fully own Peterborough, or he hasn't for the past few years, but he does again now. He's one of the more outspoken owners and has been for quite a long time. Peterborough are his club pretty much. A few years ago, he sold a chunk of the shareholding to a couple of other people, but they've now left the club, and he is now the 100% owner of Peterborough again. Also,
hostile takeover, was it?
I've no idea. It's Darren McAntony. apparently, I found out as well that the one of many clubs that don't own their own stadium, and these other two investors that have left are still involved in the stadium somehow. So I don't know. Does this mean Peterborough are going to have more or less money going into the transfer window? It's the only kind of major League One related news I could find. Other thing is the FA Cup. I'll pass on to Liam for that.
I mean, do Peterborough need much more investment, though, to be honest? Like, sitting pretty comfortably in the automatic promotion places at the moment.
I don't know. It's a business dealing. It's some people have left, and Darren McAntony is now.
If you can see this job through until the end of the season, steward them into the Championship, and you could probably get some more investors in, and you'd be onto something good, wouldn't you?
Peterborough are one of them clubs, though, that just seem to kind of go in cycles. They never really last long in the Championship on the odd occasion that they get there. They buy players from mostly League Two. They're not buying unknown players either, but they buy players like with Sombalonga, and then they sell them for lots of money. And then Darren McAntony just mouths off about everything that he can to do with football. So that's kind of like their MO. So I think it'll just be more of the same for them.
Yeah. I actually didn't know who he was until you messaged me the other day about it. I'm not a big Peterborough enjoyer.
He's just one of them gobby shites.
Yeah, pretty much. One of them people that's always on Twitter. So I've learned. Moving on to the other kind of scrap of League One news that we've managed to scramble together here, and
calling it League One is generous.
Exactly, because we start off with Scarborough.
Scarborough
were beaten by Forest Green, leading on from last week's FA Cup sort of drama. Forest Green, people said they should have been kicked out of the FA Cup. They just had to play a replay against Scarborough. Scarborough, after putting up a fighting performance in the first two games, they had to play against Forest Green, were beaten this time round. And is it because of the scheduling issues with that match being delayed?
Yeah.
That now Blackpool's game that now Forest Green's game against Blackpool is going to have to be decided on the night. They're not allowed to do a replay with it because it's that already that kind of congested with their things. With
Forest
Green playing Scarborough three times
third round will be early January. So
yeah, I don't know what it is, but anyways, theirs will have to be decided on the night now, probably because of all that stuff that happened previously. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Forest Green Rovers, despite people saying they should have been booted out of the competition because of what happened to Barnsley, are through to the next round. So, yeah. And it's certainly an interesting one.
Controversy. Mm. Is that everything for the League One roundup?
That's pretty much. It has been quiet. You know, we've been taking most of the news.
Well, you know, it doesn't matter, lads. It's okay. You know, you managed to, you know, hold up your end of the bargain week in, week out in the part of the show where we all get to find out what's been happening here. What's been happening there? In the League One roundup with Wills and Leo. Well, thank you very much, boys. You know, it was pretty good this week. You know, I quite enjoyed it. Short and snappy, but, you know, very informative, I would say, you know, and especially room for discussion, which is very enjoyable. Well done. I give it a 10 out of 10. And we'll move on to a part of the show that constantly gets a 10 out of 10 because it's organized by the only functioning human being on the podcast. That's right. I'm talking about the part of the show where I have to have an apology ready. I'm sorry, Max, because it's the one time I just couldn't think of a rhyme. It's Max's million pound idea. Go on, Max.
Thank you very much. So this week, I've got a comment from Grant the G Martin. I think that's how you say it. Nope. Anyway, from Instagram. And he's commented on one of my posts saying he's basically commenting about he wants an increase in size of the fan zone. So I was watching the fans forum today. It was today on YouTube on the day of recording this. So, and it came up there as well. And there was a question asked about, you know, the potential of, you know, having multiple fan zones for each side of the stadium. So, for example, one like for the Pioneer, one for the Warwick, and then the one they have now, and then potentially another one for the away fans, but I'm not too bothered about that. So what do you think about that then? Because obviously the fan zone they've got now is an all right size, but if the crowds are going to start getting bigger, it might be worth sort of thinking about, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess, like, how big a fan zone can we get into the car park where we couldn't?
Yeah, where are you going to put it?
It's like, if you had multiple ones, it doesn't have to be as big as the one they have now, obviously. But, you know, you could just have a couple of storage containers, like with the, you know, for pints and stuff, a few benches.
The East Stand has enough. Like, the East Stand does have enough bars and facilities in the East Stand. They could do more with the atmosphere of the East Stand to make it feel more like the fan zone. They could have some music going on in there. They could have some sort of entertainment around there. But, like, there's nothing really that, you know, I mean, there's more bars in the East Stand than there is in the fan zone. So there's no reason for it to sort of, like, you know, warrant there to be more bars in the East Stand. When it comes to the Warwick, like, what I would probably end up doing is pretty much just knock the full back out and, like, put half of it as a bar, and just have, like, a bar that you've got a shutter on, and the shutter comes down when you can't serve any more booze again, and you've got, like, maybe like a little cattle grid sort of queue system or something for it, like we all saw at Wembley or something like that, and, you know, it'll just be quick, like, proper quick kind of service. I think that's what you need in the Warwick, is just, like, better service.
Yeah, I mean, even, like, longer term, that's a good idea. But, like, what they did start to do was kind of let people through the Warwick, like, towards the left-hand side to go into the fan zone. But they've stopped doing that now. Since I've been trying to do it the last couple games. And they've just made it dead awkward sort of thing. And you've got to go the whole way around, like, past the club shop and stuff. It's just...
I mean, the fan zone's about more than just compensating for a lack of facilities in parts of the stadium. It's about, you know, the atmosphere there itself and the main, you know, a range of different foods, and they've got the big TV now. Are we going to have enough people to order them being two fan zones?
Well, what you could do is if they're going to build a new training facility, then that big pitch that's just there that they now train on, there's just going to be a big open space right next to the stadium. So
it's a good point.
You know, that's a giant open space that you could just stick anything on. So if you want to have like an extended fan zone, or just completely get rid of the one that's already there, chuck it on that big open thing there. There's plenty of room.
I mean, that's a good idea. Like, but isn't the tickets for the Warwick the same as the price as the tickets for the Paddock?
Yeah, I believe they are. Yeah.
So I reckon, like, if you just open the Warwick all year round and it was the same price, and you got a Paddock Warwick ticket, a stand-in ticket basically for that whole side of the stadium, and therefore there'd be no confusion with people being able to come in and out to the fan zone because everyone would have the same ticket anyway. Everybody would go and stand in the position that they always stood in anyway, and everything would carry on being fine and there'd be no more confusion. Like, I reckon, you know, that's a really quick way to be able to do it. If the tickets are the same prices, just like, you know, just let them all, you know, go where they want.
Now, that is probably a point that's worth bringing up, to be fair. We probably could do that, and it, you know, I don't know how it would work with the ins and outs, but it seems like a simple solution to me, like what you've just said. Like, that would solve the issue, to be fair. So that would help. I definitely think people who stand in the Warwick, like myself, you know, that'd go down really well.
Because we could potentially then put new turnstiles in that corner where people are getting into either the Paddock or the Warwick Road end, and you know, concentrate some facilities around there.
Yeah,
yeah, it's good shout. Yeah, I think we've just solved the problem there, boys.
It wouldn't be for the first time, Max, would it? We're gonna reveal that a little bit later on in the Carlisle United related news. Have you just got one for us this week though? One juicy one.
I've got that one, and then I've got another comment, but it's sort of more related to transfers. So right. I'll talk about that later on.
Yeah, we'll wait until January maybe for that one.
Oh yeah, can do. Yeah, I've got loads about transfers. So
naughty. Good stuff, stuff. Always a strong segment, Max. Always a strong segment. Thank you very much. But I'm sorry. I have to apologise because it's the one time I just couldn't think of a rhyme. It was Max's million pound idea. Thank you very much, Max. Thank you very much. We'll move on to some of the Carlisle United related news. And of course, the biggest news is obviously today's news that the fact that Carlisle United have signed target man Harrogate, well, former Harrogate target man Luke Armstrong. Details of the deal have been revealed yet, unfortunately, because it can't technically really go through until January the 1st. But it has been revealed that Luke Armstrong will be training with Carlisle United up until January the 1st, when that deal does go through and will be able to jump into the squad, which, you know, is quite a sensational journey for the 27-year-old that began his career at Blyth Spartans and has now found himself here at Carlisle United. This season, though, has not been very fruitful for him. Just one goal in 12 games last season, though, a very much more respectable goal tally of 16 in 46 games, a very reliable figure in the Harrogate side who was able to maintain their sort of mid-table mediocrity rather than see them slip down to the bottom end of the table where they obviously belong because they're a terrible, awful football team that we all hate. But lads, how are we feeling about the amazing news that, you know, we've got that bit more cash to splash? You know, Max, it was revealed that he was so close to signing with Wrexham in the summer. All that money that Wrexham have to throw at players, you know, is it a little bit juicy for us to be able to compete with the likes of them?
Yeah, I think on the forum, Paul did say that, you know, the fee we've paid, which in itself is quite good for us to be actually able to pay a fee, but the fee we did pay was was nothing like the half a million that Wrexham bid in the summer. So it was nothing like that, but even still, you know, it's good
still
to see that,
I think, isn't it?
Yeah, well, there you go. So, you know, it's onwards and upwards.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like when Wrexham went to sign him, it was a deadline day signing, and their main striker, Paul Mullen, was injured. So, you know, they were a bit desperate at the time. And since then, Mullen's come back. So, and, you know, Wrexham are doing well. So they probably weren't going to go back in for him themselves. Yeah. So, you know, whatever they were offering, I think Harrogate would have had to accept you know, a fair bit less from us.
Yeah. Plus, I think his deal's out in the summer, so at Harrogate. So, you know, a striker with a year left on his deal is going to be worth a lot more than a striker with 6 months left on his deal.
Yeah, I mean, if he was to stay at Harrogate till the end of the season as well, because if his current, you know, if his kind of current situation with Harrogate continued, then that would be like an entire year out of football, pretty much, since yeah. there weren't. I mean, I think he did come on as a substitute a few times, which is why he has got.
He's got the appearances, but he's not been playing.
He's got some appearances, yeah. I think he's like the only goals he scored were before the Wrexham bid. And then since then, it's just been a few substitute appearances. But basically, Harrogate didn't want to have to play him because he didn't want to be there. And it was just all a bit awkward. So it's, you know, it's best for all parties for him to come out of that situation and start playing football again.
Yeah, he has joined the club as well. Like he's training with Carlisle now, so I think that'll mm-hmm. be good. He can sort of just concentrate on that, and it sort of removes the danger of, obviously, if he was still at Harrogate until January. You know, Paul said today, it was like if they get a few injuries and he has to go on, you know.
Yeah.
And he gets injured, then, you know, that kind of ruins it for us.
One. Okay, yeah. I mean, it gives us the chance to kind of bring him up to speed a bit as well, just because, yeah. you know, so like it'll have probably knocked a fair few thousand off his asking price, the fact that he has played so little this season as well, even, you know, without the Wrexham stuff.
It'll be a good chance for him to get a few more games under Carlisle, because he'll probably be going straight back in the starting 11 for us, and hopefully he can sort of kick on and get back to his best.
Yeah, you definitely hope so. So, I mean, there have been questions asked about whether what went on this season is, you know, is he still going to be the player he was last season? But we've got to find out, because because we're fighting relegation, so.
Well, I think we've got, like, you know, Paul Simpson said, we've got a man with a lot of, you know, attitude, a lot of grit to his play, a lot of aggression to his play, somebody that's definitely ready for a fight, somebody who's always got his goals from, you know, not clear-cut chances, things that he's had to fight for, scraps, long balls through, you know, every opportunity he's had to fight for. We've had, you know, we've been on the receiving end of a number of Luke Armstrong chances ourselves as well. And now it's nice to have that weapon within the Carlisle United arsenal now, potentially there are rumours around that there is another striker afoot for Carlisle United signing quite imminently, and that would be Wigan striker, 7 goals in 12 appearances so far this season, 31-year-old Charlie Wyke.
I mean,
I hope it's true.
It's just someone having a bit of
fun. It's a bit unrealistic, isn't it?
Yeah, apparently, I mean, somebody that did see right about it said that the reason why this is supposedly going to happen is that Wigan can't play his wages because of their financial issues, and he's on quite high wages there, but if they can't, you know, if they're not paying him or can't afford to pay him, and that's why we'd be able to get a player who you'd think would be quite, on quite high wages, because his wages are too high there. But I mean, that's just speculation. I don't really think there's anything in that. I feel like that has to be a rumor, just a scurrilous.
I mean, we definitely won't be able to match the wages he's on now. If what is rumored, to be honest, if he actually is on that, then there's no way. But you never know, do you? Like,
yeah.
I'd be surprised if Greg hasn't inquired at least.
Yeah, I mean, I say, like, it's all just sort of like rumour and stuff. As far as I know, Wigan might be perfectly happy paying his wages. It's just kind of like what somebody has said after then saying that this is why we might have a chance of making this really unrealistic signing.
The thing is, I agree with you in that I don't think there's much in it. But I also thought the same about Armstrong a couple of days ago. That's the only thing that's making me doubt myself, because, like, you know, I thought they were both just stupid rumours, but one of them's happened now, so I'm just thinking, well, one out of two, why not go for both, you know?
Yeah.
There's the potential there. There's definitely the potential there. You know, like you said, it has been like a bit of a heavy rumour, and we always, Carlisle United, always have this like love of fan, sycophant kind of relationship with ex-players, this romantic sort of notion of ex-players. So, you know, it's always extra juicy when it's a name like Charlie White as well, who left us on such a high note. But, you know, we'll see how that goes, obviously, and develops over the course of the next week. We'll move on to the news that, you know, Paul Simpson always keeps his cards very close to his chest when it comes to selecting his lineup. He doesn't reveal any of his injuries going into a game, only after a game. And obviously there were eyebrows raised when Owen Moxon was left out of this weekend's squad against Northampton, but it was revealed it was unfortunately due to the fact that he was suffering from a hip injury, and he's hoping to be back in contention for the Carlisle United starting lineup for their next game this weekend, which is of course against, I've got it written down here, Cheltenham Town at home. And finally, in Carlisle United related news, as we always like to do, report on the impact of the Patayak family, which has happened instantaneously here at Carlisle United. That's right. This time it's the upgrade of the hospitality facilities. There was a very documented picture of a certain carpet that was rolled up and thrown into a dumpster this week. And, you know, it only shows the massive effect that Max's £1 million idea has at Brunton Park. Congratulations to you once again, Max, for a fantastic impact, getting rid of that carpet. Amongst those improvements, though, there are other lounges that have been improved around Brunton Park, modernised the facilities there, including media facilities as well, and there are more improvements in the very near future. So more exciting things to report on, hopefully, next week in terms of the Patayak's impact on those facilities. Now, lads, before we move on to playing the game that we play in the middle of the show, it's time to have a quick word from some of our sponsors.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Now, that's right, lads. You might have noticed that I didn't call it the game with the longest name. That's right. We're not playing the game with the longest name. That's no, no, no. We're playing an old, true and tried and tested game this week, lads. That's right. It's time for True Blue, not a blue. True Blue, not a blue. Ooh, 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 blue. A true blue. True Blue, or not a blue. Come on, boys. That's right. It's time for True Blue or Not a Blue on the Blue Army podcast. It's back with a vengeance this week, gentlemen, and the year ahead of you to guide yourselves through in this team challenge is 1979.
Ooh,
okay. I have to admit, gentlemen, I've been especially cruel this week on the podcast, so we'll have to see how things go for you. But as always, you know, it's a team game. There's three brains here, and we'll see if you can figure this out. The first one on the list, potentially a true blue or potentially not a blue, Paul Bateman. Paul Bateman.
Instinct says true blue.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's like a name that I've heard somewhere and it's just sticking in my memory.
I don't think it is.
Whether it just sounds like a realistic name. Do you think it's not a blue?
The reason for this, right, is because I went on the every single Carlisle United player list when I was doing my research for the up and coming game at the end of the show, and I can't remember seeing him. And I was at the very start of it. You know, it's all in alphabetical order, so.
I bet you're guessing the player he's going to say in a second.
No, I mean, I'm going to bounce Liam Superior.
Better not It better not be. We're gonna have to get the guest and the player board back involved.
So I'll be bound to Liam's superior research and saying not a blue.
I just can't remember saying his name. That's all.
You said not a blue.
Max.
I'll say not a blue. Yeah. On the assumption that Liam's got a photographic memory.
<All right. laughs>
It's a bold claim, but you'd be right to back it this time, actually, Max, because he's not a blue. He's not a blue. You're correct. Well done. You've got four more to go through, gentlemen. So here we go. How do you feel about this one? Paul McNamara.
It's another B. Like, I'm not as confident in this one.
McNamara.
Paul McNamara.
You're saying McNamara?
I am saying McNamara.
I don't think that's a name. I've never heard that.
McNamara? I thought you said McNamara.
You know what? For the very same reason, I would have remembered that name.
Yeah,
not a blue.
Everyone's united in not a blue, and you'd be correct. Well done, gentlemen. 2 out of 2. Fantastically.
Can I ask where that name came from?
This detectiveness. Well done. The next one is Paul Bannon.
True blue.
True is true.
Is it all Paul?
And the old bees. It's
all Pauls. Yeah, true blue.
Well done, lads. You've got 3 out of 3 so far. That is a true blue. And we'll move on to the next one. Michael McVitie.
Is he not
George McVitie?
I think
he was one of the 1974 squad or something. George McVitie. So
see, I'm just thinking
he's
of the biscuits.
A lot of goals did George McVitie?
Yes.
Michael McVitie.
And this is to get a full house as well, isn't it? So there's more.
I don't know. My instinct says he's just taken George McVitie's surname and.
But I can't imagine it's a very popular second name.
So, yeah.
I want to say not a blue. But
I mean, it could be a brother or something. Yeah, okay, we're going not a blue, yeah?
Yeah.
Not a blue. Yeah. True, lads, well done. It's not a blue. Well done. 4 out of 4 so far. Last one to go.
Yeah, new 5 now.
Trevor Swinburne.
There's definitely been a Swinburne,
yeah.
Oh, got a Swinburne now, haven't we?
Yeah, like a youth player.
Yeah.
Okay. Got
it is
dad.
Truth.
True, yeah.
Yeah, I said true.
Well done, gentlemen. You played a sensational game.
Yes. Thanks to Liam's photographic memory.
Yeah.
5 out of 5 this week on True Blue or Not a Blue. Fantastic stuff, gentlemen. Well done. Sensational. We'll move on to a part of the show, which, you know, lately it's been a bit of a struggle, but I think this week there's moments to enjoy, most definitely. It's time for the match report, gentlemen. As I always do, I'll give you the Carlisle United starting lineup for their game that took place this past weekend, which concluded in a 2-2 draw at home against Northampton Town. There was Holy in nets, Manuel, Lavelle, Mellish and Armour across a back four, with McAlmont, McGeoch and Robinson implied in a midfield three, Plange, Garner and Gibson playing a front three, and obviously the fluidity of a Paul Simpson side was apparently on site for all to see. Liam, after the game, you had some comments to say that, you know, Jack Robinson's positioning wasn't necessarily clear at first, but definitely effective.
I can't remember saying that, but yeah. No.
Christmas night out.
That's the thing. I think it was him and Alfie McCalmont in the midfield, wasn't it? And Dylan McGeoch. And yeah, I just thought it was more of a slight on Owen Moxon, to be honest. When I said that it was probably our best midfield performance of the season, it just seemed that everything seemed to go right in that midfield. And obviously, I first saw the starting lineup and I thought it's going to be a back five with Jack Armour as a centre back, Robinson at left back, but it turned into more of a, like I said, a 4-2-3-1, with him playing further forward. And I think that probably is where he's destined to play now. I don't think he's much of a left back. I think he's not defensive enough. But Jack, I think he did well going forward, and I think all of the midfielders did well.
Well, the midfield was really good.
We've seen this before from Paul Simpson. You know, he has turned left-backs into midfielders before. And, you know, it wouldn't be the first time that it's going to have a very good effect. I'm pretty sure Tom Taiwo came in and he was able to play at left-back. And, you know, there's been other examples, with Chris Chandler maybe being another example. I'm not sure if that was under Paul Simpson, though, necessarily a Paul Simpson signing. But, you know, it's evident that it is effective, though, to move these left-backs into more offensive positions. You know, there's definitely a role for them to be able to play in the central midfield. On this occasion, Jack Robinson proving himself and potentially becoming a mainstay. But I feel, lads, that just given the midfield, the option to have a second defensive player in there definitely showed a bit more stability for the front three to go forwards and express themselves a little bit more and be more effective going forwards. And unfortunately, it's Carlisle United. You know, we were pressing early on in the game and we were kind of caught a little bit, I don't know, just out of sorts and out of positions for the opening goal for Northampton. The ball was, it's very simple. It's very easy for Northampton for a few reasons. First of all, it was just a one very simple pass down the line from the fullback, and he was away, was the striker. Cuts inside, one step over, a devilish deflection, and Thomas Holy's unfortunate fumbling fingers, and the ball did cross the line just on his front post. Now, we've called for recruitment in the goalkeeping position before. This is the second mistake Thomas Holy has made in as many games, unfortunately, as well. You have to say, gentlemen, the Patayaks aren't here for freeloaders and free riders. And if they're going to bring in a new number one, are we potentially going to see the end of one of our favourites, giants in goal? Liam, what do you think about that statement?
I think, yeah, and to be honest, I think Paul Simpson thinks that more importantly than whatever any of us think. I think the way Paul Simpson's talked about Thomas Holy this season, I think he's probably looking to get in a new goalkeeper. And he tried to get in a new goalkeeper anyways with this Scottish guy that they couldn't register in time, or because he was registered to someone else. I just think he's too big. Thomas Holy, I think he got away with it a lot last season, but he's never really been one to fill me with a load of confidence. And he's had his excellent moments. Like, you think of the playoff final, and he'll forever be a hero for that. But I just think he's a bit too big, which maybe sounds a bit stupid, but he can't get down low. And it was an example of that today. He can't get down in what you know, as a goalkeeper, it's one of your weak spots. It's just to the side of you, low down, which, you know, when you just can't stick a foot out, and you've got to try and throw yourself down for it. And he can't do that because he's just a bit too big. But yeah, and if you're going to be competing in League One, you need a goalkeeper who can, you know, be relied upon and who your defence can be confident in. I just don't think he's been that this season.
Yeah, I'd say that's a fair comment, mate. I'd say that's a fair comment. Now, Carlisle United waited until the second half to get an equaliser, and it was Jack Armour. Now, it was well worked by Carlisle United, you know, down the right, and then, you know, played across. There was a nice little step overs from Jordan Gibson, played the ball out to Jack Armour. But Max, did he mean to put the ball in the top corner, or was it supposed to be, you know, one of those shotty, crossy kind of, you know, attempts?
Yeah, I think he's tried to cross it, and it's gone in the top corner, but I don't care, to be fair. We needed the goal. We deserved one as well. I think just by his celebration as well, he just sort of walked back, like, in shock as well, so it's like...
I don't think he knew it had gone in, you know.
How could he not know it had gone in?
No, because he turned it around before it crossed the line, and I think he thought...
What did you think the cheering was?
Well, no, I assume he knew then, but at first, I don't think he knew it was his goal.
Yeah, it was a bit of a weird sort of reaction from him, and yeah, by that...
You know, like that embarrassed reaction, though.
If he'd have meant that, he'd have been wheeling off, like, knee slide and everything,
yeah,
wouldn't
absolutely.
He? Yeah, I think so. I think he would have enjoyed it a lot more if he meant to do it, yeah. Now, something that Edmo definitely meant to do was get his head on the end of Jack Robinson's corner just 12 minutes later, which gave Carlisle United the lead in the 81st minute. Will, is this just another classic example of the hard work of Gavin Skelton, Paul Simpson and the rest of the coaching side with a beautiful set-piece play?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lovely header from Edmo, and he's come onto the pitch fired up, look at, you know, with a point to prove played well last time he came on for us. So is him used his height. He's got, I'm just watching it now, he's got really well and directed it really well. I think it's a good cross, but it's the finish really that makes that goal. And I think it's just full credit to Edmo for it.
And unfortunately, things did end in a little bit of disaster for Carlisle United. A last-minute equaliser scored by Bowie in the 93rd minute, right at the death at the end of the game. It was poor defending. It was, you know, a little bit scrambly, a little bit all over the place. Everybody diving, trying to get a leg in front and deflect the shot. But unfortunately, there just wasn't enough limbs back there to deny Bowie from putting the goal in the back of the net and deny Carlisle United from getting what would have been a very well-deserved 3 points. At least that's my opinion. Let's hear some of your opinions as we hand over to Max and Liam, who are going to read from their comment sections and your comments. And we're going to hear what you felt about the 2-2 draw at Northampton. Who would like to go first, lads?
Max, I'll let you go this week.
Yeah, I'll go first. Due to the fact that I didn't put a post out at full time, I'm just going to have to go off like in-person reactions that I got from the people who I went to watch the game with. And they actually was pretty similar to what I thought, in that although it was obviously gutting that we conceded in the last few minutes, the goal they scored was like really good. So it was like, although it was gutting, it was like, you know, fair play, because I don't know what we could have done to stop it. You could say maybe Hurley could have saved it, but I don't know how many times we've said that this season. But yeah, good performance. It was, you know, especially the last couple of games we've had before them, where we've kind of not looked like we've had any sort of real desire or quality about us. It was good to see, and I think the crowd got behind the lads really well as well, which helped.
Liam, have you got anything from your YouTube section?
Yeah, a huge shout out to Jimmy Burfield and Halftime Ready for just littering my comment section with David Bowie puns, including what a shame Bowie got to be their star man. Carlisle might be dancing in the streets come January. Bowie looks like he does like his chocolate. In fact, he spent most of his life on Mars bars. Bit of a rebel.
Gods.
Yep, we've got to get it right in January. Otherwise, it'll be the last rites for League One. Ashes to ashes and all that. And he'll be off to Suffragette City, which I don't really like get that one at the end, but yeah, there was a lot of Bowie puns.
yeah, it seemed like Bowie puns were the main content of it. Like,
there was a
lot. Was there any actual comment about the match? Or was it just
more than
Bowie
half
puns?
Was David Bowie puns. okay, Carlos Jackal says, Maguire on for McGeoch. Great performance, but what was that substitution? Which he's got a fair point there. I think that was just a bit strange. You know, you win in the midfield race, the midfield battle even, and you take McGeoch off, one of our best midfielders, and put on Maguire, who, you know, as good as I like Maguire, is not a midfielder, and he didn't even play in the midfield. And I think that did kind of come back to bite us a bit with the equaliser.
Yeah, all fair comments. And lads, we'll move on to nominating what we haven't been able to do in quite a while, actually, is nominating a man of the match for the game that took place this past weekend. That's right, it's time for the Foxy's feature, man of the match. Will, would you like to go first, mate?
Yeah, and player that Liam's just mentioned that when we took him off might have contributed to conceding the equaliser, Dylan McGeoch. I think there's a lot of outstanding performances in midfield at the weekend, so it's hard to pick just one, but it seemed like McGeoch was involved in most of our, you know, almost all of our good attacks. It seemed he was in and about there somewhere, just pulling the strings, lots of kind of very tidy midfield work. So yeah, Dylan McGeoch.
Okay, Dylan McGeoch's a fair shout, Max.
I'm going to give it to the actual man of the match, who was Luke Plange. Especially after the Blackpool game, where he got a bit of stick from the fans, I thought he like responded really well, and you know, it's clear to see that he's obviously got the right attitude about him. If he's, you know, he's not sulking or anything, and thought he played really well. And I'd actually start him in the next game, like, because of that. I thought he caused a lot of issues for Northampton.
Good call, Liam.
I'm going to go with the other man in midfield. I'm going to go Alfie McAlmont. I just think he's such a tidy little player, you know, and he suits that sort of defensive midfield role really well, I think. And I think it was fantastic.
Oh, I'm going to agree with Max, actually, because, you know, Plange, he also got, like, a lot of praise from Paul Simpson after his display and being able to answer back after, well, a lot of criticism after the Blackpool game. And that's something that both of those gentlemen actually have in common. You know, they both received a bit of grief from the fans after the Blackpool game. And this is a really good way to answer them back. And, yeah, I'm going to give it to Plange as well. Gentlemen, we're going to move on to look ahead to next weekend's opponent. It's bottom of the table, Cheltenham. You've got to fancy us. You've got to, lads. You've absolutely got to. I'm going to say we're going to run all over them 3-0 at Brunton Park. That's my bold prediction. Liam, what are you going to say?
I think 3-2 to Carlisle.
Ooh. Contest. Will?
I'm going to keep up a certain theme and say 3-1 to Carlisle.
Okay. 3 goals going in the back of the net at Brunton Park. Max, will you think the same?
Yeah, 3-1, I think, yeah. I do think it's going to be 3-1.
So Carlisle are definitely going to score 3.
That's what's got to happen now. That's what's definitely going to happen.
Definitely. Yeah. Who's going to score? That's the question. Sam Lavelle and Edmonton twice. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
We've willed it into existence. It's happening. It's definitely going to happen. Gentlemen, it's almost time to say goodbye. But before we do, we have to play everybody's favourite game. Guessing a player, go. Guessing the player, go. That's right, gentlemen. It's time
new theme song
for guessing the player. No, you can't replace the guessing the player theme song. No chance. It's time for guessing the player. And this week, lads, it is the turn of myself. That's right. I've got to get my own hands dirty once again. And it's up against Mr. Experience, former guessing the player champion Wills. That's right. There's Liam playing Clue Guide, as he alluded to earlier on. Max, you get to relax, sitting very pretty at the top of the guessing the player table. Will, you have an opportunity to claw yourself closer to Liam and yourself into contention for that title race. And I am just purely, I don't know, blowing bubbles in the air at the bottom of the table, just enjoying myself, really, just like being a part of the game. So I feel like everything's going to be fine. But Will, you know, you've got more to play for than I do. Are you feeling any kind of pressure or maybe overconfidence against a bottom of the table opponent?
No, I think I've kind of done. I've turned my season around a bit after the poor start, just by the fact that the pressure's been off. So I'm keeping the pressure off myself, and you know, I'm still confident. But I'm not thinking too much about what's above me in the table.
Okay. You know, it is your opportunity to get yourself back amongst that title race. Me, very much cut adrift at the bottom of the table. But it is my turn to be the home team. That's right. So hopefully I'll be able to nail the first one of Liam Denwood's clues and claim 3 points this time round. I'm going to hand over to you, Liam, because it's time to play Guessing the Player.
It is. And I feel like I've got a little bit of a reputation to uphold with my clue guide duties, or try and claw it back at the very least. So prepare yourselves. And I've actually changed my clues just then. And you'll see why when I give you my first one. This player was mentioned earlier in the podcast.
Whoa.
This is going off your old track record, and because I know he was a goalie, and the other one was a goalie, I'm going to say that Trevor Swinburne.
It was not Trevor Swinburne.
Ah. Ah. Well. I mean, I can't remember who was mentioned earlier in the podcast, other than certainly some players. It's one of the players from the early game, one of the 1970s players. But
might be a current player.
If it is one of the 1970s players, Liam's at a massive advantage. I'm going to go Charlie Wyke.
Good shout.
It's not Charlie Wyke.
Ooh.
And I'll give you a bonus clue here.
Do we get a bonus guess?
No, you don't get a bonus guess. But before I go into the second clue, can I just say it's not one of the like 70s players? Before we go forward. next one. This player made 54 league appearances, scoring 0 goals.
Who were you talking about earlier on? Who would have played 54 games?
That also means that he's left the club as well, by the way.
Oh, he's left the club as well.
Mm-hmm. He made 54 appearances. He's not going to make
anymore. No, he didn't score any goals. So I'm thinking it's a goalkeeper again. I'm just like, I don't know. No, he wouldn't have made 54 appearances. Also, it has to be like 2 seasons. Mentioned him earlier on in the podcast, and it's not Charlie Wyke, which is like where my brain just went to straight away. But obviously, you know, not scored a goal as well. Right, okay. I'm just gonna have to make a guess. I have no idea.
Difficult, isn't it?
I know it's not gonna be right, but I just say fucking because it's right in front. Robinson.
It's not Robinson. No.
Has he scored Robinson yet?
What the current player Robinson?
So. Yeah.
I think he has.
Oh, yeah. Well, I can't remember if he was mentioned earlier on in the podcast. Maybe not. I'm going to go with Paul Farman.
Ooh, Farmy.
No. So we're down to our last guest, which I think might give it away.
Yeah.
This player joined on loan from Manchester City before joining permanently.
Is it Chris Chandler?
It is Chris Chandler.
When was Chris Chandler mentioned earlier in the podcast?
Liam mentioned him was, just out of nowhere.
He was mentioned, I remember.
And I was like, oh crap, that's my guess of the player episode. Person.
Chris Chandler never
this episode,
a goal.
He mentioned it this episode.
Chandler never scored a goal with his left.
No, but according to Wikipedia, he hasn't.
I haven't mentioned that.
No, not this again.
This episode.
I'm going to argue with Wikipedia. I'm
not going to
go.
I thought it was going to be Paul Simpson. Because he was at
That would have been a good one, to be fair.
I have mentioned Chris Chandler as a guest in previous ones, and I used to say that was always good.
It was when we were talking about turning left backs into midfielders.
I didn't mention Chris Chandler.
No, Liam did.
Well, amazing gentleman, you know, finally get another point on the board. Not that it does much good to my cause, but
that was under Greg Abbott.
Yeah.
It definitely starves off the interest of Will towards the top of the table. So you're welcome, Max and Liam, as you two seem to be battling out in a bit of a dogfight up there. Next week, things will further develop. I'll reveal, obviously, next week who will be playing Guest and the Player because, gentlemen, things are a bit up in the air right now for the Blue Army podcast. We don't quite know what's going to be happening across the next 7 days in terms of what we're going to produce for content. It's very exciting times. Obviously, we have the end of halfway through the season, end of year party rewards thing that we do every year. Very popular episode, so that'll be coming up as well. Looking forward to that. But right now, lads, there isn't really anything else to say apart from bye for now.
Bye for now.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.